League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. Before we turn over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz, they'll take you home till 7 o'clock. It's all right here on ESPN 97.5. Because you were out yesterday, Barry, we did get to, we're going to catch up on some of your thoughts on some of these things that happened over the past 24 to 48. One of those things was this whole Arizona story now that's getting worse for Sean Miller, or getting better depending on how you look at it. You know, ESPN broke the story that Sean Miller on a phone tap basically agreed to pay $100,000 to get a top recruit to commit. He took himself out of coaching the game at Oregon 6 days ago now, sat out for a whole week. Yesterday finally came to a press conference where he vehemently denied everything. Said basically, I'm going to fight this to the end. I'm going to coach my team. I didn't do these things. I never did. I never would. And then tried to poke holes in the ESPN story. And now ESPN's trying to get their timeline straight because it looks like the dates that they released as part of the story, pointing the finger at him, that they were incorrect. That the kid had already signed. And that he had already come out and said, I'm going to Arizona. So there would be no reason for Miller to like try to be negotiating to get him $100,000 for him to try and consider committing to Arizona. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, who do you really believe? I mean, the bottom line is, if you know you're dead to rights, and if you are, and it's proven, you'll never coach in college again. So your best defense is, I'm going out guns blazing by saying, hey, I'm fighting this thing. I never did it. No way. And if you can get a technicality or you can find a way that you can get out. But at the same time, we know how ESPN can be sometimes. And maybe they jump the gun on a story.
Don't you talk about the mothership.
Well, if they were, we wouldn't. But it's just getting more and more muddled.
So let me understand this, because I didn't. They have a wiretap. They have him.
ESPN claims there is a wiretap from the FBI that has Sean Miller, the coach of Arizona.
His voice.
On the phone, on the tap, agreeing to a quote-unquote middleman of a fee of $100,000 to secure the services of star freshman DeAndre Ayton.
I mean, he has to be confident that there is no wiretap, or that, like you just mentioned, that it won't be allowed in court for whatever. Maybe the warrant wasn't, you know, issued in time or whatever. The timeline doesn't match up. There's got to be something that he's confident about, because if your voice is on tape, you know, I get it. You could be like, well, that's not me. There's tons of people that sound like other people. That's not me.
But I think you're onto something. You're only as confident as your attorney and your representatives are.
That's what
I'm
saying. There might be a loophole, or he might, because I was listening real closely to his comments yesterday to state, was he going to be real generic, and was he going to say, I never paid a player that's ever played for me, but of course someone else could actually make the cash payment. Yeah. But he was pretty specific when he was denying everything about getting as down to detail as he could about ever paying a player, agreeing to pay a player, breaking NCAA rules. And then when you read the article on top of that, where they start trying to poke holes in all the things that ESPN, they're saying that Miller is considering a lawsuit against ESPN for slander because they came out with all these details that aren't true.
Well, that's the thing. I think that if this is sources say, and there's no definitive proof that has been posted, I would reserve judgment, especially if he's that angry, before making a call on, oh, he definitely did it. It sounds like, I mean, if you read the story, it probably sounds like he did. But if he's that upset about it and he's willing to face off against a wiretap with his voice being recorded, maybe there's smoke but no fire.
It reminds me of the Ryan Braun story about 2 years ago, and Ryan Braun seemed really cocky about the testing protocol.
Yep.
And he was like, y'all ain't got nothing. I ain't getting in trouble. And I felt like the reason why he was so cocky is because he knew that the testing protocol was violated. And he knew that they didn't test it properly. And I forgot what happened. Either the sample was placed in an area and the room temperature was... I don't remember what it was.
The guy that was in charge of taking and getting the sample and then FedExing it screwed it up somehow. He tampered with it to where it wasn't permissible.
Right. And if he hadn't done that, Ryan Braun probably would have been busted. In way much trouble. Yeah, yep. Way more trouble.
Yep, you're right. But yet, then he was still killing the guy and trying to defame him and everything like that. And it's like, bro... Ease up. You got out. You got out on a technicality. It wasn't like you were hands clean innocent.
Wow.
But this thing here, you know, when you start looking at it and you look at the ESPN article that's going with it on the flip side of things, because look, we all hear it. We go, well, boom, you're busted.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of like we said when, you know, like when Murph was first accused by his kids, front page news. When he was acquitted and they found out that he never did anything, it was the back page. And no one, by that time, the court of public opinion had already prosecuted him. This is the same kind of thing. ESPN comes out. And now when you start matching up their timeline of when calls took place that were recorded and things like that, the kid had already committed to Arizona on his own. And there would be no reason to discuss, hey, he's thinking about 3 or 4 schools. And if he goes to Arizona, we're going to need this and that and everything. So they're, to their credit, they're poking holes in it. But now we don't know who to believe. And on both sides, it sounds like it's fishing. You don't trust either side. You don't trust ESPN. And you don't trust. That's why I was so adamant about trying to dissect his comments. Because maybe it wasn't this time. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe he was on tape, but he was talking about a different player. You don't know.
Yeah.
So there's still tons to be sorted out here. But look, it's like the NCAA is Roger Goodell times however big their organization is. Because the NCAA hasn't exactly gotten anything right lately. You look at Bridges from Michigan State, who had to pay $40 to a charity of his choice because his mom accepted a lunch with an agent. But yet, on the other side of the spectrum, in the same case, you're talking about Sean Miller in Arizona and $100,000 and other guys coming out with big dollars, but you're going to prosecute the kid from Michigan State with the same kind of venom as you are kids taking $100,000?
Yeah, I think the punishment has to fit the crime, right, and the money, because there's we're talking hundreds of dollars versus hundreds of thousands. It just seems silly. I think it's so difficult or so easy for us to hear a story or see it on the internet and you see that, oh yeah, he paid players. And so you just read the headline, you skim the article and go, guilty, and then you move on. And there are plenty of cases where the report was wrong, the information was false, the witness wasn't reliable, the source wasn't reliable. I mean, you look at the Duke rape case. That's probably the best example you can give, where everyone was like, guilty. And then, you know, then the justice system actually does their job, and these kids were found not guilty. And so it's really difficult. It's easy to just make that judgment in your mind and move on. And it's difficult sometimes to say, you know what? Maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll pass judgment. If he's that upset about it, there's got to be something.
Well, I was going to say, it's the Mark Berman effect. You want to be the scoop. Yep. You want to be the guy that gets the story out there and gets credit for it, because everybody's always fighting about, I was the one to report it first. And if you report it, you got to give me credit for reporting it first. It's national, it's local, it's everywhere. But don't report it first and run the risk of not getting it right.
Yep.
Because now they're showing, to just to kind of give clarity to this story, if you guys aren't following it, but now ESPN has had to go back on this story and reissue and corrections for what they did or did not get right. And in one of them, they're saying that Ayton, the player, signed in 2016, but that ESPN was reporting that the call took place in 2017. So there's no reason for it to happen,
yeah,
right?
That can't be.
So they had to change that and they had to issue a retraction that said they used the wrong year in discussing the timeline. But then it becomes in question, like, was it the right player? Did they get any of it right? So they're asking that. And then the second thing was, they said additionally reporting confirmed that ESPN was correct in their video talkback, which they stated Arizona coach Sean Miller and Christian Dawkins, the key figure in the FBI's investigation, spoke in 2017. A correction of that report issued misstated that the conversation took place in 2016. ESPN stands by the reporting of the story. This what are you standing by?
It's loose. Yeah, it's... real quick, I want to say shout out to Eric Resendez. Happy birthday.
Okay.
He's happy turning birthday, 26 Eric. On Sunday.
And happy birthday, Eric.
Brother Bear checked in. He said, I started at 246 pounds. I am down to 229. 44 years old. That's good, dude.
Love hearing that, man.
Congrats, Brother Bear. And then he said, can I get a pic of that Himalayan heat burger? Just so I can salivate over it? Yeah, don't do it, man. You don't want to see this. It'll make you cheat tonight.
No, yeah. You can have good thoughts, but don't act on them. Don't act on them. It's kind of like watching porn. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I found out having a kid, I'm not that likable either. The other night I told my son I loved him. He said, I think we should just be friends. He gave me a good night bro hug. I don't know. It's awkward. My son, he's like super scared of his room right now to sleep in it. The other night he came in our room and crawled in bed to sleep. In the middle of the night he starts kicking me. I'm like, you know what? The heck with this. I'm going to go sleep in his room by myself so I can get some sleep. Yeah, but guess what, guys? He's right. His room is super scary, all right? Like, yeah, the nightlight's making some weird shadow on the wall. I promise y'all, the door... closet door just starts creaking open by itself. I'm like, I don't know what you are in there, but I'm going to go ahead and grab my son. I think you're looking for him. So I'm going to go ahead and discuss whatever y'all need to. Probably shouldn't have got him those Ouija board bed sheets.
Hey, back on the final hour of The Usual Suspects. If you missed any part of the show and you know that this is an F, yeah, Friday, and F stands for funny, as part of being a funny Friday, we always have a comedian on that Barry features, and today's comedian is Alan Adams.
Yeah, I screwed up, by the way. I posted this. I know, it's not a surprise.
No.
That was the one from hour one, and I posted that link twice. That's my bad, because there's a killer bit that I wanted you guys to hear for hour number three, so we'll play it at 3:30, so you'll get a bonus. Well, you're not really getting a bonus because we played the same one twice. But
yeah.
We'll have the link at 3:30. The one, it's a great bit too. It's one of my favorites that he does. So
okay. You
have to check that out. Cool. Yeah, but we got that show. Did I tell you guys about the show I have tomorrow?
No.
I get an email from a booker. He's like, "Hey, I need a feature comic in Austin." I was like, "I'm free. I can do it. Pays decent. I'll do it. I'll drive out there." He goes, "Cool. It's yours. By the way, it's a house party." I was like, okay. I mean, that's not...
Oh, you did mention this, I think, the other day.
I was like, that's not a big deal. He goes, yeah, it's a house party for a 50-year-old birthday party. Okay. He's like, yeah, 50-year-old Pakistani man's birthday party. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What do I have in common with... So I reached out to the wife who set it all up, and I was like, what can you tell me about it? I mean, I'm not going to custom write a 30-minute, you know... tailor-made show for you guys, but I'll try to work in some jokes about him specifically. But I'm like, whoa, this could get ugly. I have this feeling that this is going to be one of those stories I have to tell for the rest of my life about, man, this one time I took this gig and it was a birthday party and it went so bad. And you know, and so I'm like, so people always think comedy is glamorous. No. Sometimes comedy is glamour. Sometimes you sell out three of the four shows that you have in a weekend. And sometimes you tell jokes in a house to a 50-year-old Pakistani man and his family. That's comedy. Yay. It's nothing. It's fun. Yay.
They love Curry. Curry. Remember?
That's
not going to go.
You're not.
No.
You shouldn't have.
Hey, man, whatever happened to Falbo Brothers, man? I'm full, but not on Falbo Brothers. Whatever happened to that?
What do you mean?
I thought you were bringing it today.
Yeah, there was a little technical difficulty with us, so I postponed it until next week.
Way to make a commitment and not come through,
no,
Ian
I
Rappaport.
Wanted to make sure that everybody wanted
hashtag
it.
Hashtag rap sheet.
But I, before we even get into that, because I'm not selling anybody out or getting into it, I just know that they are...
Selling who out? Yourself?
No.
Who are you selling out?
Uh-oh.
I love that face. Who are you selling out?
I'm debating right now.
Go ahead.
So I'm just going to let it lie.
Yeah.
No, no, you know what? No, no, because you know what? I said I was going to bring it in. Uh-huh. They had to open up early, so they were trying to get it done. I hadn't heard from Barry yet. You, I asked yesterday, you couldn't even make up your mind what you wanted on your pizza.
I was trying to make
it.
No,
you said you call it. And I don't want to call it. I want to get what you want. So I said, look, Barry just said, okay. So I responded again and said, hey, if you guys want to do it for another day, because I don't know if you got home too late or if you want to eat healthy today for the weekend, we could reschedule it for next week too, because I'm trying to go through hoops to get these guys to come in early to make it.
What time do they open?
Noon. Or afternoon, and they were doing. They would have to do it like a catering deal, where they'd have to come in just to make our stuff, and then I'd have to wait around to pick it up. So I was like, "Look, maybe it's better if we just do it."
Yeah.
Next week, but I was trying to be accommodating.
I ended up having to have a sandwich, which is fine.
Me too.
I just wanted us to all be able to have it. That's all.
And yeah, so then you and I talked about it, and I was like, "We'll just do it another time." Yeah, so that's it. Fine. So there you have it.
So we got a couple of feedback on unwritten rules that we didn't bring up. One of them was Ryan said that one of the unwritten rules is you don't plow through the O-line when they're kneeling in football. That's a great unwritten rule that I had totally forgot about.
That people still violate.
Yeah, and then there was the don't tackle someone by the hair. That was Ray. Ray said you don't tackle someone by the hair.
That's legal.
I know, but it's an unwritten rule apparently.
I don't know about that one because guys have done it.
Yeah, but I don't think that they do it intentionally. I don't know. Mark Shell said he's down. He started at 415 pounds. He's almost down a full inch. Down to a full inch. Now, I don't know if that means he's lost an inch off his waistline.
You've
got
to be a loyal listener to know that.
Or gained an inch on his penis. Yeah, we've talked about that before. If you lose 30 pounds, you gain an inch on your penis. So, congratulations, Mark.
I wanted to get to this real quick because I know you don't like talking about the dad.
Yes.
But ESPN is...
It's a relevant story, though.
Yeah, this one is relevant. ESPN's getting new details now, finally, about the sunglasses being stolen by the three UCLA players, including one of the Ball brothers. And all the details are coming out. It's on their website, but some of the key details are now that the guys stole from three different stores.
It wasn't just one.
One was the high-end Louis Vuitton store, but then they went across the street to another mall where they stole cheaper sunglasses, bracelets, and other things. That it took a while because they were trying to get the only surveillance cameras that they had working were in the Louis Vuitton store, but they had all three guys, but they actually thought more guys were involved. When they did show up to the hotel the next day, 8 squad cars, 15 cops. The fact that when President Trump was taking credit for it. It now is that they already had worked out a deal to get the kids out, to get them without charges. By the time that Secretary of State Kelly got involved to say President Trump is working on it, it was already done.
Does it surprise anyone that Trump took a little more credit than he probably deserved? Let's be real.
No, but they're also saying that the university and the Pac-12 encouraged them to thank him anyway.
No, that was probably his handlers getting in touch with them, and yeah.
But, man, if you read some of this stuff, what were these kids thinking? We've talked about it. In China, you don't screw around with stuff like that. I mean, the hard time that you could do is literally going to be hard time. They're not going to pussyfoot around giving you, like, you know, a duster. You're going to be doing some hard labor. You're going to be in a really tough cell. Some of this story, some of the more details coming out, it's just crazy.
Yeah, this was on ESPN?
On ESPN's main site, yep.
Now, are they correcting their own reports or just in general?
They're not going to say what the initial reports said and all the missing pieces that we were waiting answers on. They're now saying, here are some of the answers.
Okay.
And filling in some of the blanks in that case.
Huh.
But yeah, man, I mean, they stole from three different stores. Some of it's just stupid stuff. $6 bracelets, $15 pairs of glasses.
That makes no sense. I like what LeVar said about it, apparently, because I heard Raheel one day. He watches their Facebook show.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Does it really shock you at all Raheel would watch that?
No.
Are you in the least bit surprised?
How could you be surprised?
I feel like Raheel would just watch it so he could talk about it just to troll people that he watches it. Like, Raheel is the king of the long con. You know what I mean? Like, he will go through great lengths to mess with you. But he was talking about the fact that the dad was like, you guys have money. Why are you stealing $6 bracelets? That's a great point. But sometimes kids are just dumbasses. Well, they don't know better.
As part of that, it's highlighted in here, too, that Ball pulled out a credit card, the kid, initially, to buy the $750 pair of sunglasses. And the card was rejected, but they said that's common practice for people in the United States when they go over
when they go to China.
The card is rejected.
Okay.
So they went out of the store, they conferenced, and then all three of them went back in, and each one of them stole a pair of glasses valued at $750 or more.
Dumb.
And immediately after that, they went across the street to the other mall, and that's where they pilfered the $6 bracelets and the $15 glasses and a bunch of other crap. And that one of the guys tried to to hide one of the pairs of glasses in Coach Steve Alford's room.
Oh.
Can you imagine if they went and did a search and found out, oh, by the way, Coach,
you've got stolen
guilty.
Goods? Oh. Now that's...
That's dirty,
that
man.
That is dirty as hell. Now you're just being an a-hole.
So if you want to read more, it's on the ESPN website, but it's just, man, again, another story that won't go away, but those kids were just not smart.
Nope.
Right now, I want to tell you guys about Falbo Brothers Pizza. I just got off the phone with Hani during the break, who owns Falbo Brothers Pizza, and he said, again, you mentioned ESPN 97.5 or any one of us, and you get an instant discount of 15 to 20%. They've got great deep dish specials going on right now, as well as old-fashioned stuffed crust and their calzones and other things. And they'd love to have you stop on by. It's a fantastic place. It's basically a takeout place because El Jefe was asking me the other day because some of our listeners were asking about can they bring their family. It's a very small front of the store where they do have some tables and chairs. So if you do want to bring your family, they will accommodate you. But the best bet is to order it and take it out enjoy some of their great pizza. It is old school, like Chicago style, New York style. They have the hand toss, they have the deep dish, and they'll accommodate whatever you want in terms of the freshest of ingredients. The ovens that they use are fantastic, and they're just waiting to hear from you. So you can go to FalboBrothersPizza.com, or you can call 281-240-4779, or stop in directly at 4779 Sweetwater Boulevard, which is right there at 59 and Sweetwater Boulevard. Stop in, tell them that you heard it here and heard us talk about it. You'll get a great discount, and I guarantee you, you'll go back again because it is the best pizza I've tried in Houston, Texas, especially I'm a deep dish fan. Barry's more of a hand toss guy. But the deep dish pizza, and I meant the pizza, Barry, is absolutely out of this world. So check them out, Falbo Brothers Pizza, 59 and Sweetwater Boulevard in Sugarland.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I noticed I don't like those commercials. I also noticed that every show on TV is about like the end of the world. People are actually preparing for that stuff in their real lives. I got a neighbor who's so prepared it's annoying. The other day he was bragging. He's like, yeah, man, whenever this goes down, I got 1,000 bottles of water, 500 cans of food, 250 gallons of gas. He's like, what do you have when this goes down? I was like, I have one gun, and after I use it, I'm going to have 1,000 bottles of water. Cans of food, 250 gallons of gas, and two wives. So it's going to work out great for me.
Alan Adams, our comedian of the day. That was your favorite clip?
That's such a good bit. He's got a bunch of great jokes, but that's one of my favorite ones because you think that you're getting the funniest part of the joke when he's like, I'm going to have 1,000. And then the tag at the end about the wives. That's how you know. That is a great joke. That's a well-written joke right there. So, yeah. Alan Adams, couples therapy this Sunday.
You're
at
busy
the Houston. I am. I got a 50-year-old man's birthday party. And
so
then,
you're going to Austin tomorrow.
Yeah. I was in Brownsville, Harlingen last night. Right. I'm in Austin tomorrow and then back at the Houston Improv on Sunday.
Will you be staying at the birthday boy's house on Saturday night?
No. Somebody suggested I take OU Mike as my opener. No. Absolutely not. That would be the worst thing that
now
could
that
possibly happen.
Now that you mention
happen.
It, I kind of picture OU Mike looking like a very poor man's Andy Huggins in a lot of ways.
No, he's not nearly as witty.
I'm not saying personality. I'm saying looks alone. I would see him being with overalls and a concert T-shirt and reddish hair. And
you think he'd look like Andy Huggins?
A trucker hat. Yeah, I mean,
is
a very
what Andy
much
Huggins
dressed,
look
no,
like?
I'm saying Andy Huggins, like a very poor man's Andy Huggins. I'm talking about like a beat up old run over hat, like one of Trey's hats, and some overalls and maybe a black concert T-shirt.
I don't know. If I were going to compare OU Mike to a comedian,
no.
No, like looks-wise?
Yeah, I just
he's
always
more,
had thought that he would look like a...
He's more Larry the Cable Guy.
You think he's big?
Just the sleeves and the... I guarantee you OU Mike yells get her done once a week. Guarantee you. Either out of a joke or serious.
And one of the worst things, like Larry the Cable... Who makes a cutoff out of a flannel or a plaid shirt?
I tell you what, you want to know something that I didn't know about him? Is that's a character that he had created for a call-in on a radio show. Doesn't talk like that.
Oh, I know he doesn't talk like
that. And
he
is super intelligent.
I've heard that too.
And a great dude. Like, I hear he's such a nice guy.
I've heard that as well.
But this just became a character. And I was having this debate. Maybe it was with Leavesshock. But, no, it was with some comedy friends of mine. It was like, they said, would you sell out? Because a lot of people want to say in comedy, want to say Larry the Cable Guy kind of sold out by doing his character. Would I sell out for $50 million? You're damn right I would sell out.
And he gets endorsements. Now he's got Prilosec as an he's doing commercials for them.
You're damn right I would sell. In a heartbeat, I would sell out for the money that Larry the Cable Guy has made in comedy. There is no, I wouldn't even hesitate. You could call me hack. You could call me unfunny. I mean, people already call me that. I'd love to have millions of dollars to go with it.
They'll never call you late for the bank?
Nope. Never.
Those checks ain't going anywhere.
He makes a lot of money. I wonder what he's worth.
You're set for life.
He had that heartburn sponsor.
That's what I'm saying, the Prilosec.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. But I saw him at the Verizon Wireless Theater, and I thought he was great. So,
I mean, he's funny. He's not Larry the Cable Guy. Net worth $13 million. Oh, I thought it would be more.
I did actually thought it would be more than that too.
That's still not bad for a comedian.
He had a run and it kind of died out, but I think that's about right.
Top earning comedians of 2013. So he made $13 million in that year.
Oh, for 1 year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking he was over 50.
Oh, yeah.
For his career.
I'm totally selling out
for
$13
million. He goes to Tahoe for that golf tournament
and
plays in it with the cutoff flannel.
It's crazy.
And the khaki, camouflage shorts and the work boots, and he plays it all up.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. This is on CelebrityNetWorth.com. Larry the Cable Guy, net worth, $80
million.
$80
million. Would you sell out for $80 million? Hell yeah,
I would sell out for $8 million. I would totally sell out. I might even do inappropriate things.
Wow.
I totally would. Handy, $8 million? I'll do it. Just don't tell
You're
nobody.
Giving Handy for $8 million.
Just don't tell nobody, Harvey Weinstein. But yeah, we're even now. Give me my $8 million and my platform to be a famous comedian. We're good.
Man,
I'll do
that's
it.
A lot of money.
Larry Cable Guy, a yearly salary $20 million
Ooh,
a year.
Wee. So he still tours?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The guys like that, like Ron Schock was just, or not Ron Schock, Ron White, who was also part of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. He was just in like Marshall, Texas, or somewhere up there doing.
And
a
do
show.
They play comedy clubs? Is he playing?
They'll
like,
do theaters,
like Verizon Wireless.
Yeah, they'll do theaters. I think they're not. They haven't fallen yet to the point because it's so funny. There's this arc, right? Like you start off doing clubs, and then you like Joe Coy right now is touring the nation and selling out theaters. Eventually, that's your popularity is going to wane. And you're back to doing clubs again on the downside of your career.
Is it like
but they're
reverse?
Not there
like it's a slow rise until you get a big one, and then when you get the big one, it's a slow fall. Like you can still milk it for a while.
I don't know about the fall. I wouldn't be the right guy.
If he's still getting theaters instead of comedy clubs, he's still getting a lot of people.
Well, remember, if you look at it like a bell curve, when you're on the upside, you're playing small theaters. Then you hit big theaters. Then as you start to fall, you got to go back down to the small theaters again. So he might be on the downside of his career. But there's some guys that maybe never have to play a club again. But here's a perfect example, okay? And, Nick, you probably don't even know who this is. Do you know who Gallagher is?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. Nope.
Yeah.
You know the comedian that crushed watermelons with a sledgehammer?
He had the sledgehammer. Yeah. Look at his face.
No.
That is such a millennial look.
No, I had no idea. What?
You guys are making fun of millennials and you had a comedian that crushed fruit with a mallet?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that was his whole, he'd just be like.
He didn't care. He blasted the whole crowd.
Sledge-o-matic. And then he would put a watermelon on a stump and smash it, and watermelon would go all over the first three rows, and he would sell out theaters.
Yep.
And now, he was a decent comedian.
He never cussed, did he?
No, he was pretty clean.
Yeah.
But he was a decent comedian, not great, but he had a shtick. He had a gimmick. Would I smash watermelons for $80 million a year? Yeah, you're damn right I would. But he just recently canceled a gig, but he was booked to play the Joke Joint.
So, really?
So that'll tell you that at some point.
But he's also like 90 now, isn't he?
He's old.
Yeah.
I would just like retire. I'd be like, you know what? Like if I'm Larry the Cable Guy and they're like, hey, you know what? There's just not enough ticket sales for theaters anymore, but we can book you at some of these clubs. I'd be like, you know what? I'm worth 80 mil. I'm good. I'm just going to call it. Right now, I'm going to go fish. And
wouldn't that depend on like how well you managed your money? If you did some things with it, you would never have to do that again.
That's true. That's true. I'm telling you, I think I could get, if you gave me $1 million, I think I could get by on it. I really do.
You got to get him some video of Gallagher. Because, I mean, just the
look. I'm looking at it right now.
Because he wore his hat. And he always, always assumed that he wore his hat and he had a full head of hair. He was kind of like a anorexic Ron Jeremy. And then he'd take his hat off and he was balder than a baby's butt.
But did you guys say that he like had like a little box and he would take out different things
he
as a part of his
performance?
He
smashed the hell out of everything.
Yeah, he was kind of a prop comic.
It
kind of
reminded me of Carrot Top.
He was a prop comic. He would do that where he would have a different theme. Like he would have, I recall him doing something about school and saying how, oh, teachers don't teach and kids don't learn. And he was sitting at a school desk delivering his jokes about school and teachers. And then he would move on to something new that was a different part of the stage. And then when all that's done, then he comes up there and starts smashing fruit.
See, I'd watch that now. Because you know how, like, you can't get it.
You wouldn't like it.
Because you know how you look back at 80s movies and you're like, I just can't watch that type of production, that type of movie anymore.
Right, right.
But I feel like I can go back to old stand-up comics and enjoy their stuff.
Not him.
Really?
I don't think so.
Now, let me ask you this.
I think if you went back and watched, like, Sam Kinison. Yeah, if you watched Pryor.
Sam Kinison was the guy of the screamer.
Sam Kinison or some of these guys, I think you would like them. But I don't think you would like Gallagher.
Because he was too gimmicky with the props?
I liked him, and I was, like, 8.
Like, he could go back and watch George Carlin, and George Carlin's funny no matter what.
Yeah, you would like Carlin, I believe.
And he cusses a lot.
Yeah, Carlin was definitely filthy. Right. Now, early Carlin wasn't. Carlin was squeaky clean.
Yeah, because he was kind of doing that crossover where he wanted to get into movies and acting and shows and all that other stuff. But I was going to, did you remember the show Make Me Laugh? There was like a game show, but two contestants a night had to sit in like the ring of the $25,000 pyramid when you're in the final round. You had to sit there facing a comic, and they always had big name comics, and then you had a certain amount of time where if they made you laugh, you lost. But if you could last without laughing for a certain amount of time,
really?
You'd win prizes. And they had some big time comics on there.
I would watch that. That sounds like I would.
Maybe
watch
they should
that.
Have it on YouTube. I don't know, but yeah,
I need to,
the show
I'm
was
Google
called
that.
"Make Me Laugh," hosted by a guy named Bobby Van, and they had a lot of big time comics, and people had to like try not to laugh.
I would totally watch that. I think
it was a pretty good concept.
Arius Fita said, "Gay sex, $8 million, and a platform, new porn name, Barry the Cable Guy." How do we not? Barry the Cable Guy was right there.
Pretty good.
How did none of us come up with that? But Arian Spiedis did.
Pretty good.
Genius.
Good stuff. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home on a Friday, up until 7 o'clock, and it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the week for us. Shout out to one of our colleagues, Lance Zierlein, who is busy at the Combine. You can catch him. Sometimes they're showing him on TV. Sometimes they're showing him on NFL.com. But he's getting some love, and he should, because he works his tail off breaking down a ton of video on all these guys getting ready for the draft.
He does. I was in there talking to him the other day, and I just felt bad. I felt like I was wasting his time by just hanging out.
I feel bad for his family, because like he was telling me, per player, it's a 2 to 3 hour process from like the breaking down of the tape, the writing up of the scouting report, all the other stuff. That's why when we say how brutal it is when someone's stealing his stuff and using it for their own, when you see the labor he puts into it, that's some tough stuff, man. And the other a couple things on football. Lamar Jackson has been asked by several teams to work out at both wide receiver and quarterback. That's kind of a slap in the face.
He was on the show talking about that, wasn't he?
On our show?
I think so.
Oh, Lance was talking about it.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, where he was talking about the fact that, or maybe it was off air, but he was talking about the fact that he feels like he can play QB.
Especially measuring out at over 6'2". We were talking about Baker Mayfield trying to measure up to 6 foot, and that an inch under could be a death sentence for him because of the fact that there's so many under 6 foot quarterbacks that haven't made it. But at 6'2", they said his size, his athleticism, and everything, you would think, give it a go at quarterback, and then, like, what's the U of H quarterback? Greg Ward. Greg Ward gave it a go, and I think he did try a little bit of both, but he tried to do the quarterback thing, and then after you realize you're not going to get an opportunity that way, then you make the transition, and he was on Philadelphia's roster. I don't know if he finished the season there, but Philly kept him around to try and make him a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give up on QB unless you tried and failed in the NFL.
His shoulder was really bad, wasn't it?
He had
issues.
He had a really bad shoulder. Or I don't know if it was
but
a
also
really
the
bad
knock
shoulder.
Was coming out that unlike college, height and other things, what quarterback wasn't his position.
Right. So I wanted to see this because here's a list of college quarterbacks that have they say successfully changed positions to the NFL. And this is older. What is this? 2015.
The one right here at Rice.
Emmanuel?
Yeah, Bert Emmanuel.
Yeah. Denard Robinson, 2013. Julian Edelman, 2009. Michael Robinson, 2006. Brad Smith, 2006. Joshua Cribbs, 2005. Matt Jones, 2005. To me, the one of the best to do it, and they have listed at number 7, Antoine Randle L, 2002.
Yeah, for sure.
Ronald Curry, 2002. Scott Frost, 98. Brian Mitchell, 90. Freddie Solomon. Marlon Briscoe in 69. So.
And a guy down on Kirby, Braxton Miller.
Yeah.
Just recently.
Not bad. Yeah, that's a good one,
right?
too.
He went from quarterback
to
wide receiver.
So it's not unheard of to do this, but I think that when I look at the article that we had, they were talking about the fact that he's putting up numbers. Where was it? Here it is. It says Jackson won the Heisman in 2016. Threw for 30 touchdowns, 3,500 yards. Last season, 27 touchdowns to go along with 3,600 yards. He completed 59% of his passes last season, which is a better mark than top prospect Josh Allen did.
And yet, that's where it all came out because Bill Polian said he's just not accurate. And it's like, come on. And that's where. And then he said he's the first one that said he should make the switch to wide receiver. 59%, better than some of the top prospects. And, oh, by the way, the way he measures out, way taller and more athletic than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Darnold's a big guy, but he's physically more imposing than Josh Rosen.
I mean, I'm not a guy that, you know, I'm not Lance Zierlein. I don't grade guys.
Right.
But you watch football and you think, the only thing that I worry about, and it's any quarterback that runs, including Baker Mayfield, and you can include him in this comment. When a guy uses his legs a lot, you worry that he can last and survive in the NFL because you're going to take shots. But if you're smart about it, if you're, you know, Russell Wilson is pretty smart when he scrambles, mm-hmm. he gets down, he gets out of bounds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it inevitably these guys tend to get hurt when they're not a pocket passer. They tend to get hurt.
And like again, we knew at the time that was what everybody was telling Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Don't be a running quarterback in the NFL because you're going to take shots. We didn't realize they were going to be in a bar, not on the field. But that was the thing. You couldn't do in college what you got away with during the pros. And we know Jackson runs a lot. I mean, he was their leading rusher as well as their leading passer.
That's the thing you worry about is he the type of the fact that they relied on him for so much offense. Because the thing that, I mean, and I didn't watch a ton. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I watched all the Louisville games this right. past year. But I can tell you the example I always use, and the reason I said Johnny Manziel, and I, before the draft, I said, teams are crazy if they draft Johnny Manziel because he won't translate to the NFL. Because you watched him and you could see that if he wasn't running to create plays, he would just throw the ball up in there and Mike Evans would go get it. And I don't know that to be the case with Jackson necessarily, but if you're half of your game is using your feet, then you probably you probably won't be great in the NFL. You might be good and you might be decent, but if you're trying to draft a guy to be your franchise quarterback, maybe that's why they want him to switch, is, hey, you might actually have more value as a receiver,
well,
then
you can make a roster too.
Then as a quarterback, because with you're longevity. Probably only going to be a backup or something like
right.
that.
Right. You can make a roster with longevity right. and actually have a key role with a team. But I remember when we were talking about Jackson during his Heisman year, and you were pulling out the stats left and right, going, this dude's rushing stats are right up there with the top running backs being compared for the Heisman, and yet he's their best passer, he's their quarterback, he's their leader. He, you know, he had, I forget what the percentage was of the offense.
A lot.
And then when we were talking about Manziel, the other thing that we said was, as much as he'd like to freestyle and run, a lot of times he would just turn quickly without looking first. And it was one thing with a college linebacker where a lot of them he could outrun.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a guy that's built like an NFL linebacker, can run like a wide receiver,
yeah,
you're going to get your head ripped off.
Yeah, that's a great point. A texter said, oh, don't forget add Terrell Pryor to your list. Yep.
Him too.
There's a lot. I mean, it can be done, and I guess that's the point. It can be done, but he's never played a lick of wide receiver. Like he's always, in college especially, he was always a quarterback.
Well, did that same thing, did Braxton Miller his senior year play some wide receiver?
I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
He saw a little bit, but he really had to hone his skills once he went to the pro game.
Sure, sure. But, you know, if you're not going to, and somebody said, you know, part of Jackson's problem is he's real thin, like Bridgewater. Yeah, I mean, you want him. You want a guy that has some, you know, because you can be if you're. That's why they like the 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", quarterbacks. Is usually they're bigger. Their frame is bigger.
Right.
It's harder in the pocket.
Well, Sam Darnold.
They're sturdier.
Such a big,
yeah,
strong.
They're
kid.
Sturdier in the pocket. Yeah. And when you're a guy that runs and you're small, if you're trying to convert to a pocket passer, it could get ugly. So.
Yeah, but I mean, the other thing too is it's your ego saying, I won the Heisman as a quarterback, right. And now they're telling me to be a wide receiver?
Yeah.
That's kind of harsh.
Somebody said, there's one flaw in your whole Barry the Cable guy. I've never heard of a black redneck. Oh, yeah, they exist. They totally exist.
What about a black Jewish redneck?
I don't know. Does Sammy Davis Jr. ever ride a horse? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zab Judah?
Yeah.
He was black and Jewish.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, so.
A couple good calls there. All right, another good week of the show. We're going to take off for the weekend, so should you, but not too soon because Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz are next. They'll take you till 7 o'clock. Oh, Jong's out today, so producer T. Scott doing...
T. Scott LaRock.
Good Lord, my man. Do you ever go home? You should probably just sleep in a side studio. It's crazy. Tyler hanging in there. He'll take you home with Fred and AJ. They'll take you till 7 o'clock, and then we'll talk to you again on Monday. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on The Usual Suspects on the flip side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.